So it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ gave himself, gave the apostles, gave the prophets, gave the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge and of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So put this down. So, we've all come into church this morning. Now, we might be here as a regular attender or as part of the baptism group, or even just someone who's happened to be up here and wants to look at the church. So, what do we expect to see, hear, and to feel? You see, as human beings, we have lots of different expectations. Some will want to be here to be entertained. Some will want a time of quiet with God. Some, an exposition of God's word that will challenge both their faith and their fellowship with God, or to see somebody be invited to become a church member later in life, like Sophie. So when I went to church when I was younger, I was in the Boys Brigade, and that's a long time ago, more than 60, probably 60 years. That's a long time. And we had to be dressed smartly, our uniform and ourselves clean and tidy. And believe it or not, I wanted to get in and out of that church as quickly as possible. And I wanted to get back to normal life. The service was a thing to be done and to got over and quickly and quietly making little difference to my normal life. Now, I know there are a lot of people here this morning, probably, I only say probably, feeling the same way. This is something to be done as quickly as possible and get back to the reality outside. But for some, maybe God's got a message for you that will help you in real life. Our Bible reading this morning is all about real life. The early Christians in Ephesus, a part of the world that's near Greece and Turkey, were struggling to survive. The Romans didn't like this new rebellious religion. The Jews wanted to get rid of the followers of Jesus also. Even though he was dead, they said he was risen. The disciples, and particularly Paul, who wrote this letter, were traveling far and wide, giving the message of good news, and Jesus had promised to be with them through the Holy Spirit. This letter was written by Paul from prison, and was to teach and keep the Christians, or Christians as they were then, together and strong, able to tell everyone about Jesus and God's plan for his world. This reading highlights many things, but we will talk about in particular three of them. First, what is the body of Christ? Secondly, that there is one body. And finally, unity and what it looks like. Paul had traveled to Ephesus many years before, and he'd started the Christian church there, teaching and preaching and working, taking the stories about Jesus to all sorts of people. Paul told them that they had to show themselves and others God's love by the way that they lived and the way they worked together for his purposes. The body was to work together to achieve this. And in verses 2 and 3 it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's very appropriate. So, what is the body of Christ? Well, we know it can't be Jesus because he was killed and buried. But then they say he rose to life on the third day. And then, most importantly, he was seen eating, walking, and talking by different people for 40 days. And there's probably 500 witnesses to him being about after he is apparently killed. Then his disciples saw him ascend to heaven. Well, we know it's not that body then. A body is in this sense a group of people who follow the teachings and lifestyle of someone. And in this case, it's Jesus. Stories were passed on by eyewitnesses and also written documents, and particularly letters like the one we've heard today. And those are all from eyewitnesses. With this information, collections of people grouped together to worship, eat, and work together to pass on the truth and messages of Jesus and God. These people were collectively called the body of Christ. They are all who believe the same things. Don't worry about it, it's fine. She's joining in, really good. So we actually are the body of Christ. So the body acting in this way, they would attract more people to find out what they had. So like we demonstrated towards the start of the service, if the body doesn't work together using the skills and abilities of all its different parts, then it can never achieve its full potential. So we couldn't, until we unwrapped, achieve the final end. We have to cooperate together to do these things. So, do you believe that an eye cannot pick up a hammer? But neither can a hand pick up a hammer if it can't see where the hammer is. The body has to function as a whole and in harmony with its other parts to function properly. And we know that, don't we, when we fall ill, when parts don't work properly. Paul was reminding Christ's followers that they must show unity of purpose, lifestyle, and not just to say things and then not do them. So we hear next in verses 4 to 6, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. So, yeah, it sounds very complicated. It is in a way, but not really. And as we demonstrated before, if we are work together and well organized, we can work things out. What the writer Paul is saying is that there is one way forward. There was one Jesus sent by God, and through what he did, giving his life on the cross, we can also share with him that life by giving sacrifice. If we believe in him, we will be safe from all harm. Jesus promises to be with us through the Holy Spirit in every situation if we ask. It doesn't guarantee that everything will be comfortable and safe, but he will be there to support us in everything that we do in his name. The family here today with Sophie will support her as she grows and learns her way through life. But even with the best mom and dad, grandparents, teachers and friends, we need all the help that we can get. When we are talking about our own bodies, that means that our legs will go the same way as our torso, our head and our arms. Not one of us is perfect, but we can strive to get better each day and in each situation. God has plans for those failures. He gives us a conscience. He gives us a chance to confess what we do wrong and change. Even more importantly, he gives the Holy Spirit and other Christians to help in these times. In our passage, it says in verses 7 to 8, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Jesus and therefore God knew that we would fail many times." We've got a history of that, haven't we? "And not come up to his perfect standards. But because of his Son and the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can always go back to him and try again." God created us and knows us through and through. Jesus, in his life on earth, was tempted, but he didn't give in to the human side of his nature. But that means he knows how and why we are tempted to go the wrong way and therefore can deal with those failures. Jesus dealt with sin once and for all by his death on the cross. Now, sin is just things that we do wrong, that we think wrong, that we say wrong. But because of his death, we can be dealt with. God equips us through the Holy Spirit. And in verses 11 to 13, if you want to go for a walk, go for a walk. It's fine. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Notice the word service. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God, Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure, the fullness of Christ. So we've got to think, what does unity look like and what does it achieve? Well, if we become part of that one body, we've heard that we are not left to cope with our weaknesses on our own. We are supported by various people who are empowered by his Holy Spirit. And we can ask God ourselves for these gifts. Is there something that you're good at? Maybe God can use that skill for his purposes. At our church here at Elmden and also the other church that we cover at St. Mary's, there are relatively small congregations. But God achieves a lot with the small resources that he's given, if we are willing to ask, to receive, and give in to God's way. He does the same things with any family. So if we are united and work together, we can achieve many things that we cannot do on our own. Like bringing up a small child. We need help sometimes. So, baptism is a community project, so to speak. The family agrees to teach Sophie and encourage her growth in faith. And also we, as Christ's body, the church, we agree to do the same. It takes all of our time and skill, honesty and integrity to follow God as we should. But remember, we are all sinners, which actually means we can never reach God's standards. God has given us a way to reach that goal by believing in the promise that Jesus made to his disciples. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So finally, in today's readings, from 14 to the end of the passage, it says, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves or playing on the red carpet and blown here and there by every wind and teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So as we see, and as we can see on the floor, we will mature in our faith as we learn and work together. That goes for congregation members of both our churches and anyone who attends our church with the right intentions. We learn and grow together, but only if we are the body of Christ and are unified and work together for his purposes. So what will we see from a church point of view? People who talk and live Christ. Friendly, helpful people who look after each other, who support their leadership team and leave aside personal aims for the good of the body. We will be faithful to Christ and God, taking his word to all who will listen. We will love and appreciate all for who they are, building each other in faith and truth. What will the outside world see? Hopefully, the truth and purpose of God in the people who believe and work for him. And it's the same for the family. You have to have faith in each other to work together to achieve your aims. So let us pray. God, our Father, help us to be the living word in this place and any location as we proclaim your name and do your work. We ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.